good break, and we're now getting started with the real meeting. Start with Academic Affairs Committee. Yvette,
Whit. All right. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Gordon Emsley. He's Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs, and this is his first meeting with us. And we're very proud to have you here and glad that you joined us at WKU.
I appreciate that a lot. It's really good to be here. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted as well. And Gordon, welcome. And I know this is your first board meeting, and you've been drinking from our fire hose for about the last three or four weeks as you've started your new duties. And we couldn't be more delighted. I've shared this story a lot in the last few days, and I promise I won't tell every group this. But Gordon's first road trip as a provost and vice president for academic affairs was to Pikeville last week. And so, you know, well, where's Pikeville? And I said, well, you're from Scotland. It's very simple. You go to Glasgow, and then you go to Somerset, and then you go to London, and then you go to Manchester. And you'll end up in Pikeville. And so I got that little curious look, and he said, okay, I understand. So he's learned Kentucky geography from a circuitous route through very familiar places. and he loved to drive to Pikeville, he said.
Before you start, Gordon, I got to hear both Gordons yesterday, or all of you that were here, and I told Dr. Ransdale before we left yesterday, I said, Gary, you hit a home run with those two Gordons. Mm-hmm. So welcome to you and both Gordons. Welcome to you guys.
You're here.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
So first we have action items, and we're going to do action item 1.1 through 1.4 together, if that's proper. But we'll have you make some comments on each one.
Yes, I'm very pleased to introduce these proposals for new programs at WKU. They represent academic growth in a variety of areas, and they're all, in my opinion, consistent with both enhancing scholarship and with meeting society's needs for educated, trained graduates. Representatives are here from the various departments and colleges that represent these various programs. They can answer any questions that you may have.
Start out with the first one. We can approve all of these in one action, but since you do have representatives here, we may want to go through each one. Okay. We'd have any thoughts anyone would like to share.
The minor of applied statistics and Dean Blaine Farrell and Department Head Peter Hamburger are present.
Any thoughts you'd like to share about that?
I'll let Peter address that. In mathematics department, we didn't have any program in statistics. The program was quite theoretical rather than applied. And the goal and mission of the university is more applied. If you go and Google statistics, you will get between 200 and 500,000 open jobs in this country. So we are creating a minor at the first time. Test the water, how we can do. And then after that, we are planning to have a major as well as an actually science major that comes in the next 4 or 5 years. That's one of the plans.
How would this apply to the whole field of informatics?
That's a huge part of informatics. So in the mathematics department, we have statistics, which is a huge part. It's mathematics and computer science, so informatics is pretty much in this department. We have statistical data mining. You have to know what is the data and how to mine it with statistics. We have computer science data mining. We have bioinformatics in the department and biomathematics. Those are all informatics. If somebody wants to study informatics, then it should be in the mathematics and computer science department. And the informatics program should be 50% of math and computer science and statistics, and at least 50% of the actual major. So if you want to data mine biology data, then you have to know the biology. And then the tool is in mathematics, statistics, and computer.
Are we moving toward an interdisciplinary degree in informatics?
We are planning, but you know that I have been the department head only for 4 years in mathematics and 2 years for computer science, and I had a lot of things to do. But and it's very difficult to create a meaningful informatics program because it's an interdisciplinary program that you have to work. So we already are creating the statistics and computer science background. One of the issues that we follow is, and we are very close to finish it, we will be SAS certified. SAS is a huge database. It's like GIS. So SAS is a very huge, very useful one. And in the next year, we will be certified by the company. Okay. When we are ready with all of these tools, then we can go and do that.
That will require Dean Farrell and Dean George to work together, I would expect, with University College and Ogden College of Science and Engineering to move toward that end. So, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So 1.2 is the approval of the minor in digital advertising.
Yes, Associate Dean Larry Snyder and the department head, Dr. Joanne Ryan, are here. There's this certificate, which advertising in the digital age.
You're going to speak to that one.
This minor has been used. We already have a major minor in digital OpenStat area of interest to all universities. The digital advertising market is addressing the change in the industry in advertising. I think we're too bold to do it. And we're doing it to do interactive advertising and digital advertising. So this minor is in that area.
So, any questions or other comments coming in? We'll move on to 1.3, approval of the undergraduate certificate in citizenship and social responsibility.
Certificate, undergraduate certificate, which would be capable of being earned by students in pretty much all majors. Paul Markham is here to address any questions.
Sure. You know, it's interesting listening to the different programs that have already been mentioned. That's something that's so special and distinctive about a comprehensive public university is that we can talk about advertising and informatics and citizenship and social responsibility. So I've been before the board twice before to talk about first the creation of our Institute for Citizenship and Social Responsibility and then program associated with it. And so we're very happy to continue the long tradition that WKU has had in this area, and this certificate will certainly bring it deeper into the curriculum, the work that we do there across all departments and units, and we're happy for your consideration and approval.
Thank you. And then 1.4 is the approval of undergraduate certificate in cross-cultural communication in healthcare.
That's another undergraduate certificate can be earned. As our nation's demographics change, English is not the natural native language of many of our citizens, and it's very important for healthcare issues that we have individuals trained in cross-cultural communication. Joe Aitchen is here to answer any questions.
As Dr. Emsley said, this is a 15-credit-hour program with really two opportunities available to students. One of them would be for those who are bilingual or multilingual to receive training to act as interpreters between a healthcare provider and a non-native speaking patient or family. The other opportunity, which is actually, I think, the first in the country of its kind, would be a management component giving individuals seeking the certificate, the management skills that they would need to actually go to a healthcare facility and actually implement this program.
Thank you. Okay, we've heard from action item 1.1 through 1.4, we need a motion to approve.
Approval.
Second.
Very creative, very relevant, and exactly what our curriculum needs to be.
All in favor? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Now we move to action item 1.5.
Madam Chair, I move that we recommit action item 1.5 to the committee for further study.
Second.
Okay, then any questions? Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we'll put this back to committee. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay, so we'll move on to action item 1.6, the approval of University Distinguished Professor appointment.
This gives me particular pleasure to introduce this item. As you may or may not be aware, the search committee for my current position was composed primarily of University Distinguished Professors. These are faculty who have earned this distinction. There are only up to two per year nominated. And it was interesting to me as a provost candidate that the president saw fit to appoint a committee of distinguished scholars to search for the new academic officer. The nomination for you today is for Dr. Chris Groves. Dr. Groves is a professor of geography and serves as director of the Hoffman Environmental Research Institute, long been a member of WKU's Million Dollar Club, having earned almost $3 million as PI in various contracts and awards. His interests, as you will learn real quick, are in caves and karst topography of this particular region, and I strongly support Dr. Groves' appointment to this distinguished university professor role.
Is Chris here? I was looking. I don't see him.
We may bring Chris back at your next meeting. You will want to meet Chris. This is a great appointment. His extensive work in research and public service in China, in the Guilin region of China, which is their karst region, water quality enhancements to remote villages across the southern region of China, his work in the national park system and Mammoth Cave National Park and cave systems all across our commonwealth or this region of our commonwealth. The classic example of an engaged scholar, teacher, researcher, and involving students and the public in his work in significant ways, and great recognition of the value that he plays in our academic community.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Dr. Chris Groves. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can we have one other action item? 1.7, the approval to purchase 514 Regents Avenue.
So 514 Regents Avenue will be a full-service floral shop, essentially a laboratory for our students to learn and practice the various processes involved in preparing flowers for various operations, including hotels and so forth.
Is he bringing that?
Yes, on horticulture.
Is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it essentially, as well as being a full service shop,
university farm. Most of what will be sold in that will be produced on the university farm and then resold for broad public use.
Move approval.
Second.
Are there any questions?
I just had a question. Who are the supervising faculty members for this project? The proposal did not say.
Would be Martin Stone and Roger Dennis.
Okay, that was my guess. Okay, thanks.
Roger Dennis is a consultant to the Rose Bowl Parade. Does what?
Does some arrangements for the Oscars.
So he's an incredible resource for our students and brings rather unique experiences.
No other questions? Are you ready for motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We do have some informational items as well. And first information item, enrollment report, we discussed that extensively yesterday at our retreat. So
what I would like for Dale to do is we didn't talk much about this fall and the status of the incoming class this fall. So I would like for Dale to touch on that briefly, given the opening of the academic year in just a few weeks, and how do we stand with our enrollment profile heading into the opening of the academic year.
Thank you. I promised Dr. Ansley I wouldn't go through 67 slides. the information that you have is in regard to the total enrollment. You see the difference at the top on the left hand side, 420. That number will be adjusted due to the fact that we have completed all of our ATP of major. We will have a few smaller ATP. That number may adjust down, but also we have a feeling with through admissions that we are going to be picking up also. So I think it will be less than the 420 at this time, but we will still see significant growth. Another area that I'd like to point out is in regard to the graduate, the numbers. Dr. Bowker, we're going to have students coming in. They typically wait until later on due to their time constraints. And later, it gives you time to adjust and get with the advisors. So we feel like those numbers will improve. So all in all, I think things are really looking positive for the fall. Any questions?
Good report.
Excellent.
Thank you, Dan.
So now we'll go to the next information item. It's a DNP update. And to me, DNP means do not play in basketball.
Thanks.
So I'm anxious to see what this DNP. This is another DNP. Thank you.
This would be the other DNP. This is the Doctor of Nursing Practice, which is evolving as the credential for both for nurse practitioners and for faculty and university nursing programs. The American Association of Collegiate Nurses has proposed this for some time now. The target being to, as you can see on the left, DNP 2015 is going to bring up to date on where we are at WKU in this program. It's a fairly involved process, requiring not only liaison with this board, with the CPE, but with the Kentucky Board of Nurses, accrediting agencies, and so forth. Dr. Mary Bennett, I believe, is here, and Dr. Sylvia Geichel, who produced this lovely chart, can also be here. But this is really it's been brought to your attention as a work in progress. We intend to be implementing this program next fall.
Okay. Any other comments?
A major step forward. You've seen presentations on this. You understand what we're doing, but it takes time. And when there are programs at Eastern Kentucky University and Northern Kentucky University currently in the same route toward the same end with a DMP, and it's the intent of the Council on Post-Secondary Education probably all three institutions at the same time in terms of formal approval, now that the General Assembly has authorized the awarding of these degrees, and because of the doctoral nature of them, which is why it went through the General Assembly. Normally that wouldn't be the case in most programs, but it was with this one. This will run a proper course, and sometime within the coming year we'll be back to you for formal board action to authorize the awarding of these degrees. Then it will go for CPE for formal action. That's the sequence.
So we intend to definitely be a new player in the DNP program. All right, we'll sink in. Okay.
Yes. DNP is okay in this connection.
Definitely new player.
That's good. Thank you. And our last information item is the Honors College 5-year report. And Dr. Cobain?
Because one of the shining lights at WKU is its Honors College, and I'd like to introduce the Executive Director, Dr. Craig Cobain. You have in your packet, I believe, this booklet. If you follow along, it might be the best way to do it.
Craig. Thank you, sir. I've had the good fortune to come and talk in front of the several occasions, and President Ramsdale asked me to come give sort of a 5-year retrospective on the decision to make honors for high-end education at WKU a priority. So I just a couple opening comments and sort of I'm going to work a little bit with you. First of all, when we talk, we often use the shorthand Honors College. The office that's sort of together with Honors incorporates more than just the Honors College. There's the Office of Scholar Development, which has a university-wide responsibility working with students on competitive national scholarship in the United States. Fortunate to have the director of the Office of Scholarly Development here, Amy Eckhart, a colleague of ours. Additionally, it has the Confucius Institute, which has been brought before the board previously. Company's flagship program, another one, which I think is another crown jewel here in the WKU. Another arrow in our quiver, as Dr. Ramsdell likes to say. But it's important to remember when we're looking at these that not all of them are members of or part of the Honors College, that we work very closely together, but they are separate offices. Additionally, I'm the person who gets dressed up, puts on the suit, and comes before you, and I often worry, and I was actually told yesterday, Fred, you are the face of the Honors College. That's really dangerous because there's a lot better faces on this campus than mine. There's an entire staff that takes care of this, and I have some of my staff with me. If anybody's involved with the Honors College, please stand real quickly. I want to introduce everybody. Just part of the staff is here. Some of them are in Great Britain right now. On a trip, we have a couple open positions. We have some of them staffing the office. Additionally, not only in the staffing of the college, nothing that takes place in the Honors College can happen without the other colleges, without the faculty. You'll see about courses that we offer. None of those courses are technically ours. We just this year had our first faculty. Dr. Markham, we heard from earlier, is one of our first faculty in the Honors College. But we live and die by the faculty on this campus, the department's helping us out, the college is reaching out. I've joked often that by profession, I am a political scientist. I study counterterrorism and violence. But by my job here at WKU, I'm a civil engineer. I build bridges to other colleges. I build bridges to other departments. What you see here, and I think this is very great data for the university, is not an Honors College success. It's not an OSD, Office of Scholar Development success. WKU, its faculty, the vision that President Ramsdell have, and the people who have made a difference. Again, I can say that, but I'm the one who stands up here and people say, Fred, you're doing a great job. I have the easiest job in the world because there's some great people around who can work and make this happen. We're fortunate enough to have three honor students in the room with us today. Board member, and we have two members of the Fourth Estate taking good notes. Be kind to me in the paper. Appreciate it. So, with that being said, let's just sort of walk through. If you have any questions, feel free to interrupt me. Try to put some data together to show what it is the Honors College is trying to do. The Honors College and everything that we do, we try to function as a small, private, highly selective institution within the larger institution of WKU. In a lot of ways, we sort of do things differently, but we do them differently because of the demographic of students that we're engaging and recruiting and bringing to WKU. But we are always, first and foremost, a member of the WKU family. So as you look through Honors College membership, our numbers have increased. The first graph is a comparison against the two best private schools, private colleges in the Commonwealth, Center College and Transylvania University. And you can take a look in the time that we've been here, where we're comparing quite well. I tell my staff all the time, and I think it's a good analogy for this. This is a five-year report. We're in the midst of a marathon run. This is the first mile of the marathon. What we're trying to build is going to take us a decade or longer. We've had a great 5 years, but the momentum is just starting. We're not fully staffed. We haven't reached out and partnered with every unit on campus as well as we can. There's a lot of things that we need to do. We're happy with the first... Yeah, we're happy with the first mile. I was just thinking I'm never totally happy, but we're happy with the first mile. We could have done a little better in the first mile. But in the 2 years that we've been in Honors College, we were a program prior to that, we are now in some regards as good, if any, as good or better than any college in the Commonwealth. And if you take a look at the price tag, it's a pretty good price tag compared to the other colleges. Our membership is up. Percentage of students studying abroad. When I talk about the Honors College being an important member of the family of WKU, for things that are important to WKU and the education of all of our students are really important to us. We We want our students engaged in research and activities outside the classroom. We want our students studying abroad. We want our students giving back and making a difference in their communities. All of those things, all of our students we want. We expect that the Honors College students are leading the charge. They are the tip of the spear as we move forward and try to do this. And these are the role models that other students should see and aspire to be like. We don't have all the best students on campus. We try to get most of them, but we don't have them all. There's a lot of talent on this campus. So when you look at our study abroad numbers, we're very proud. We're about 4% of the student body here at WKU, and you can see we send about 23% of all the students abroad who go annually. We have some great partnerships, which you'll see a little bit later in the report. Harlixon College sort of being our most popular destination. We've sent 120 students to Harlixon thus far, and I think 3 faculty we have sent. And we have 13 students at Harlixon right now who are having a great time in Hogwarts Castle as we if we go to page 3, and I'm not going to go through all of it, just a couple important highlights. We target particular schools. We understand that WKU has a service region, and this region, and you can sort of see that over the past 10 years, we have increased the number of students that we are getting from schools. We see the top students from the schools that are in our service region. I hear the rumor, I think Alex is out for the experience. Alex has told me a couple times that WKU has not always done as well as it would like in the top 20 graduating seniors from Bowling Green High School. In the last 3 years, we've averaged 17 out of the top 20 Bowling Green High School seniors coming to WKU for the Honors College. That's what we want. We want to keep our best and brightest instead of them fleeing to other states and other places. We want to keep them here in our service region. We also target schools outside of our traditional recruiting area. A lot of you will notice our private schools, college prep schools, schools where students typically go to East Coast, West Coast, big cities, usually never come back to Kentucky. And we've done quite well growth there. I was very pleased. I got the letter here I got from a student yesterday. We talked about there's 22 students in her private school, Trinity Christian Academy of Lexington. 22 graduates, 3 of them are going to be at Honors College in the fall. And I looked and I said, where are they on our priority list? And I went, how come they're not on my priority list? So I called over to Institutional Research, maybe the first 3 students ever in this institute from Trinity Christian Academy of Lexington to come to WKU. And we'll have 3 of them in the fall. Now, my question is, how come we didn't get the other 19? I'll talk to my staff and we'll work on that. But the important thing is to bring new students to the table. Bring students who may not typically pick WKU as a school of first choice. We recruit differently. We joke that we often, and since we have athletics here, we recruit honor students much the way athletics recruits athletes, one at a time. I've spent some time working with the Pentagon and I've worked with the Central Intelligence Agency. We keep pretty detailed dossiers of each student. We know what their interests are. We tie them to students here at WKU who have the same interests. And what we're able to, and I don't know these young ladies personally, but I would guess a lot of students who are Christian private high schools are looking at Christian colleges. We're able to work with organizations on campus that are of a religious nature, Baptist Crusade of Christ, Baptist Christian Ministry, and others. And when these students come to visit, they meet these students and see, I can go to a public school, all the advantages of a great research institution, Division I sports, big-time science, art, all the things you get at a big school, but I can still have some of the other things that are important to me. So all of a sudden, WKU is on the radar for these students, and it's very time-consuming. It's recruiting them one-on-one, and I give kudos to all my staff. They work incredibly hard to make sure that these students are recruited individually. That makes a difference. You see, most of us, we have bags under our eyes, but that's because of what it takes to recruit these students. I think the next 2 graphs are very important because it's not about recruiting 300 students in our freshman class for honor. That's our goal, 300 students. You're trying to create an environment, a reputation that draws other students who who may not actually come to the Honors College or may not be quite competitive for the Honors College as freshmen, but they come to WKU. When we look at these next two graphs, we look at the increase since 2001 in the number of students who rank at a 25 ACT or 1130 SAT. That's top 20 in the United States. These are good, solid, really good students. And we can see we've gone from about, you know, around 18% up to almost just over 24% of the student body being top 20 in the United States in terms of SAT and ACT. Does the Honors College get all the credit for that? Obviously not. It's the entire institution. But we like to think that our recruiting, the things that we're doing, is having these students take a second look at us. We look at the second graph, which I think is even more impressive. We look at the number of students who rank 30 ACT or 1340 SAT. This is top 6% in the country. And these are outstanding students. These are students who can go to about any school in the country they want. Really good students. And we've had almost a 77% increase in the number of those students in the past 5 years. And you see, the previous 5 years, there was some increase, but it wasn't quite as drastic as we've seen in the last 5 years. We think we can take a little bit more credit in the Honors College and Office of Scholar Development, some of the initiatives that have supported in bringing the river. And the key thing to remember is we're in the first mile of a 24-mile marathon. We're not sprinters, we're marathon runners. The momentum's only starting to build. The reputation is only starting to build. You've read Jim Collins, Good to Great, talks about if you push a little and the flywheel moves, you push a little farther and it moves. Finally, all of a sudden, the momentum builds and you can just step back. The flywheel just takes care of itself. We're not there yet. We're still pushing and huffing and puffing. But a couple more years, I think these numbers are going to continue to grow and be even more impressive. We go through, you can see scholarships. You can see the scholarships that students get, so you have an idea of the funding. Honors College degree production on page 5, you notice 650% increase in people graduating from the Honors Program / Honors College. That's really impressive in 5 years. We had about 74 students graduate this year. Our conservative goal for next year is we'll have 150. If we have a perfect storm, we could be up around 108, which would be more than a doubling of what we've done this year. Obviously, our goal is to bring 300 and we want 300 coming out, but we're not quite there yet. We'll get there. Of the students who are graduating, over half of them are writing year-long capstone experience projects. They're doing a 40, 50-page thesis that may get published with their faculty member. They're doing a documentary that wins a national award. They're doing some incredible things to help them get that job, to help them get into the top graduate schools in the program, in the country. It's about engaging these students to do incredible stuff. And again, none of that happens without faculty on this campus. They are absolutely key for what we're trying to do. Honors sections, you can't grow the number of students without needing more sections. I'm not going to be disingenuous. The college is pretty greedy. We'd like more sections. But you know, we'll keep working with departments that are very, very generous and donating faculty and donating sections to us. Honors augmentation contracts. This is where a student takes a non-honors course, contracts with the faculty member to do extra or more or different work, and then they get honors credit for their class. You can see we've had a pretty exponential growth in the number of that. And I should point out, this is extra work for the faculty. They get no compensation for other than the joy of teaching and knowing how important it is for these students who want to do extra work and do more work. So I think, again, I don't want to beat this drum too much, but can't say enough of what faculty and departments are doing to help the Honors College be successful. And then as we move in, some of the other offices that, again, are not in the Honors College, but are associated with Office of Scholar Development. This is a very unique office on campus. They work with students to sort of, if I can use the analogy, a lot of college sports, when you're getting ready for the draft, seniors who want to draft as high as they can will go down with special trainers to improve their 40-yard dash time, to be able to lift a little heavier. But that makes the difference between being drafted high in the second round and being drafted in the first round. These are people who trainers are taking from really good to professional caliber. Amy Eckhart's office works with students to help them learn how to write competitive applications, how to think about their personal essays, how to plan strategically over 3 or 4 years to win some of the most competitive scholarships in the United States, to get accepted to some of the most elite graduate law and dentistry programs and veterinary programs in the country. It helps take students who are basically, and I don't mean this in a derogatory sense, but are more a passive learner and turn them into active scholars. And again, that service, which is very time-consuming, is open to all students on this campus. And as you can see from the data, we've done a phenomenally good job. We are probably, if not the, one of the top producers of international scholarships here in the Commonwealth. Many of you have heard me say that we have won more Barry Goldwater scholarships, which is a science scholarship, than half the Ivy Leagues in the United States. Our students can compete with anybody in the country. Partly it's because of the skill sets that things like honors and OSD and Confucius and flagship bring to the WKU family and allow these students to do more than they think they're ever capable of. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with Kentucky flagship. You guys already heard about the flagship program and some of the great things it's doing, sending students to China. Confucius Institute is going to be bringing Chinese language teachers to 11 to local elementary, middle school, and high schools here in Warren County and some of the surrounding counties to teach, and that's being funded by the Chinese government. So we can create a pipeline of Chinese language learners to meet our flagship program over the next decades. So everything is about, you know, fitting in with what the university's goal is, being an economic engine for the region, development of things here in the region to make this part of Kentucky a great place to be. And I won't go through the bio, but you can look at some of these students and the things that they have done. Students who probably, you know, look like your grandchildren and look like your children, who have done some amazing things. And on the last page, you see a picture of Harlaxton Castle, Harlaxton Manor. In the foreground, you see a three-story gatehouse, which the Honors College leases, or WKU leases, half of. And it is open for faculty to take sabbatical. We're working with one faculty member who will do a sabbatical in 2011, 2012. And we build a new gatehouse. And you're working on the next stage of their research agenda. So I don't want to speak for President Ransel, but I think anybody on the board may be interested. If they're in the area and they're looking for a place to stay, I think we can probably work something.
82 miles from London by train in a nice pastoral setting, so let me know if you're heading that way.
And then finally on the back is what we see as the future of the Honors College. Everything together and be able to get a new building. As students who are looking at William and Mary, Charles Franklin and Marshall, some of the top private schools in the United States, we'd sort of like to have a building that would be similar caliber. So just thought you'd want to see that.
A couple things. Thank you, Craig. Excellent. And board members may have some questions or observations. Amy just returned from China 2 months with our flagship program and facilitating our Confucius Institute. And we are welcoming from China in a few weeks scholars that will go into the public schools to begin implementing our Confucius Institute and our Chinese language programs. If you want to put our 7-word vision statement in context, you just heard it. This is the primary means, along with growing our research, improving our faculty, improving our overall student body, but the fastest way to achieve a vision to be a leading American university is to achieve what Craig Cobain just described.
No
pure and simple. We don't need any no pressure. We don't need anybody's permission. It's our strategic agenda. It's ours to determine. We will control our own destiny with the quality of the intellectual experience on this campus. The Honors College is the principal means through which that will be achieved. And I'm delighted that this board chose to take the action a few years ago to create an independent Honors College, which means that we will be awarding degrees through the Honors College in addition to the degree that our students receive through our respective colleges and the respective disciplines. We will recruit Honors faculty. We will have an independent Honors College that will reach 1,200 students, about the same size as Center in Transylvania, by the way, by 2012. This is at the top of the priority list in our strategic plan, and we will make financial decisions that will fund that strategic priority, and we will create a proper home for the Honors College in due course. That'll be the second or the third mile of the marathon. But this is, when you talk about the transformation that this board challenged me to lead 13 years ago, This is a fundamental core building block in that transformation, and I'm so delighted with the progress that's being made. Craig, your leadership, the entire staff, great work, and this makes every college better. This makes excitement for every member of our faculty, whether they're teaching Honors College classes or not. And most of our students won't be in the Honors College, but the tide rises because of what the Honors College is bringing to this campus. And I tell parents when I see hundreds or thousands of them assembled in a focus on WKUD for student recruitment for high school seniors and their families, that the Honors College is important. Whether or not you're directly engaged, the value of your WKU degree is strengthened by what the Honors College brings to the intellectual environment on this campus. I wanted you to hear a five-year report, but you took the action, and we intend to follow through. So great job, Craig, and Gordon Emsley and Gordon Bayless. This too will be important in your respective duties across our academic community. So great job. I'll open up for questions.
I just want to take 30 seconds and talk about the students who are on the front cover, because I think it's really, it says a lot for how the Honors College philosophically works. In the upper left-hand corner of Rachel Rinsky, you can see Rachel did not come to WKU in the Honors College. She had a tragic event happen to a friend of hers while she was in high school, had a bad year academically, and when she looked at it, she said, my GPA isn't there. It's because of a bad year. I told her she probably should have applied anyway, but she chose not to apply. She went to the info fair with Master Plan and picked up the Honors College brochure, and this is her story. Some of you may have heard this. And she picked up a study abroad and said, two things I'll never be able to do. I don't have the grades, and my family doesn't have the money. Scott Taylor in Student Affairs saw Rachel, saw the great things that she was doing, raising money for St. Jude's, all kinds of leadership on campus, and called up and said to Amy Eckhart and I, this is someone you need to know. And we invited Rachel up. Rachel had a great conversation, and Amy said to me, this young lady can do things. We need to help her. So it just happened to be timing-wise that there had been an anonymous gift that came through $5,000 gift. I told Amy, money is yours. Amy took Rachel on a summer trip to China. Rachel has a proclivity for Chinese. Who would have known? She's a very hardworking young woman. Went to China, came back, has applied for a Rotary Ambassadorial Scholarship, received it, is going to Cambridge here in a couple months to spend a year in Cambridge. She's right now in China. The State Department is funding her to learn Chinese. She's in the flagship, and her national scholarships are not done. But we are open to students who are late bloomers. They don't need to necessarily come to the Honors College as stars from high school. We always ask, and the term we use is talent scouts. People who see talent out there and encourage them to come talk to us. We work with everybody. And Amy does a great job. And again, this is how every student at WKU can participate in these sort of opportunities. Jay Duke, Jennifer Duper, came through the more traditional route. Very good student in high school from Owensboro. President Ranz, I don't know if you remember, she was at the first picnic of President Ear House. She had a cast on her arm, and she won the iPod that year. things that we do that aren't typically done on campus. She has studied. She was at the first inaugural class to be a pilot student. Studied abroad two other times. Just was awarded a Fulbright, and I think leaves here in a couple weeks for her assignment in Argentina. Paul Ruff from Tennessee. Paul was a community college transfer. Went to Ball State Community College in Tennessee for 2 years. Came in the same year that I arrived. We started talking about opportunities. He wanted to do Arabic. He had already done Arabic at community college and on his own, so we didn't have enough Arabic. We only had 1 year of Arabic at the time, so Paul and I started brainstorming about who else had Arabic, so we started applying for State Department critical language colleges, and I think we got three in a row. We got one to Tunisia, one to Oman, one to
Yemen.
Wrote an incredible thesis where more Arabic citations than you could possibly imagine. It's impossible to read because I don't read any Arabic. Got a Fulbright to a Fulbright scholarship to spend a year in Egypt. And then got to get this wrong. The Arabic Language Association gave him another year-long fellowship to improve his Arabic even better. This year he turned down Harvard University for graduate school so he could take a PhD in Islamic history at the University of Michigan. Not a bad set of options. But you see community college transfer, students who did not come to WKU as high school stars per se, as we define them, and people who take the more traditional route. You know, we have some who are varsity athletes in the college. It's a very diverse group. It isn't the stereotypical people like me, glasses, you know, pen protectors, things along those lines. Any student can be in the college. And that would be.
That was an excellent presentation, and really is exciting. It got me excited enough to do something.
We're taking applications.
Yeah, I know. But 5 years ago, yeah, about when we started this, I was a part of the board then, and it is so amazing to see how far this has come, and it's been your leadership too, Craig, and we appreciate everything that you do for the Honest College.
Craig, you're doing a good job.
Before I leave, I just point out if you're trying to get to Harlaxton, you take the M19 up to Boston and hang a left.
Thank you.